the king of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my song. Let the king of my heart be a shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good.
All right, well, glad you guys are here today, and got a few announcements to make. First of all, we got church council meets this Tuesday. So Tuesday at 6:30, those of you on church council. And our Christmas party is coming up on the 30th at 6:30. And we have a maximum of 64, because that's about all we can put in here comfortably. And there's 15 left, 15 slots left. So if you haven't signed up, you need to sign up. And if you haven't paid her, back behind me, you can't see her, but that's okay.
There she is. There she is.
But you need to pay her. You need to pay her if you haven't paid. So, but 15 left, and everybody pays. Sooner or later, yes. But anyway, I hope we fill up those slots. We always have a good time at the Christmas party. And then on Sunday, the 26th, which is 2 weeks from today, we will have a special business meeting to approve the church budget and the slate of workers. And that we will have copies of that for you next Sunday. And then you'll have a whole week to look at it. And if you have any questions, you bring those up at the special business meeting, which will be right after the service on the 26th. Is there anything I've forgotten? All right. Well, we'll go right into the verses for today. Just four verses. Somebody went, whew, four verses. So, and actually, I think it will be a little shorter today. Be my little Christmas present for y'all. of course, there's no guarantees. But anyway, I say that, I've said that before, and it never has happened, has it? Yeah, never has happened. But anyway, we got four verses today. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes we do Christmas, I do Christmas message or whatever. I've just chosen to stay with the thing, but it's kind of cool how it's all working out. And last week I kind of tied it into Christmas, and this week I'm going to, and then even the week after Christmas, kind of the last message of the year is kind of tied in appropriately for a new year and all that. So it was kind of cool how God worked out the timing of everything. So, but anyway, let's read Matthew 8:14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. And when the evening had come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you today, mindful of this time of year, mindful, Lord, of the glorious plan that you had from the beginning of time, Lord, to come to earth as a child, grow and live a perfect life, and then die for our sins. Father, thank you for that. And Father, as we turn our thoughts toward that very topic, Lord, we ask that you bless this day, bless this service, Lord. Anoint it, Lord, empower it. Lord, may you be glorified. May the music be pleasing to you. May it be glorifying to you, Father, this very day as we remember what you did 2,000 years ago. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really don't need a mic. That might be singing. This thing's making a heck of a noise. Without me breathing in it. Can't even hear me, can you? Okay. Anyway, let's just turn that off. We've got some Christmas songs. Please join in with us as we sing. However, the pastor talking about the lady here behind me, or behind me, reminded me of a story. You might have heard this, but you're going to hear it again. Anyway, these people were in a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant stepped up and said, I got a lemon here, and if anybody can come get any more out of it than what we've gotten out of it, I said, I'll buy your lunch for you and your whole family. So this big old burly guy came up there, you know, and he squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. Didn't get nothing out of it. So this big old biker guy in the way back, he stands up and comes up and he said, I'll get it. Give me that lemon. So he grabbed that lemon and he squeezed as hard as he possibly could. Please. Didn't get nothing out of it. And I said, okay, last call. This is the last chance. Anybody want to try it? Well, this lady came out the back, grabbed hold of that lemon. She was standing up over and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. And pretty soon, right at the bottom of the lemon, you can see this drop form. It's just squeezing, squeezing, and sure enough, boy, it dropped, and then two or three more right after it. And he said, my goodness, he said, those big burly guys couldn't get anything out of it. And here you come up, a frail little girl, and you get two lemons out of it. What do you do? He says, I'm a treasurer down at the High Desert Baptist Church.
Oh, jeez.
Stand up. Okay. I heard that joke around here sometime a long time ago. So I know you've heard it before. Anyway. Persistence pays, right? All right.
Thank you. Christ the babe is
Christmas sing we now Noel. In the town they found him, son of Mary mild. Sleeping in a manger was the Holy Child. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now a Christmas, sing we now Noel. Wise men sought and found him, treasures did they bring. Bowing down they worship Christ the King of Kings. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now a Christmas, sing we now Noel.
All right. Pray people get well and get back as we still down numbers wise. Somebody mentioned to me during the memorial service for Lori, they said, boy, it was nice to have all the people in here again. It was full for that memorial service. And I said, yeah, it was nice. And these songs have been good. Have you liked these songs? Right at the beginning, after Thanksgiving, Kathy said, I want to pick some different songs that we don't normally sing. What do you think? I said, yeah, you know, do it. Whatever. And it's nice to, there's some, you know, a lot of beautiful, and obviously we don't know them real well because we don't hardly ever sing them. But a lot of meaning in those songs, and it's really been nice. And next week is the Christmas service, so remember that. We'll be doing our Christmas musical next week, next Sunday, and look forward to that. So please be planning on attending that as well. So. We'll just get into the message. Jesus, the ultimate healer. The ultimate healer. As we continue in Matthew chapter 8. And got to keep remembering the context of through which Jesus is speaking here and through what's going on right now. He had spoke with authority on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount. He's come down. He runs into a leper, heals this man of leprosy, and then he goes into Capernaum, and there's a centurion approaches him and has a servant, and like kind of remote control, he just heals the servant. The servant's not even there. The centurion just said, hey, you're a man of authority, just like I'm a man of authority. When I say something, it gets done, and I know if you'll say it, it will get done. And Jesus marveled, and he said, wow, I've not seen faith like this here. And he said, hey, as it is, as you have wished, it is done. And the servant was healed. And so he spoke with power and authority, and then he began to display his power and authority. And in this passage, we see it even taken to another level and a greater level. And so we're going to look at these four verses. There's a lot in here. Verses 14 and 15, we see that Jesus healed perfectly. He healed perfectly. And it says, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying down and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered to them. You know, this was a tremendous day in the life of our Lord. If you look at, and you don't have to turn there, I'm not turning there, but in Mark chapter 1 in verse 29, or about 21 through 34, you get an idea what went on this day, because Mark gives a more detailed account. Jesus had gone to the synagogue that day because it was a Sabbath day. Okay, he went to the synagogue, and he's preaching and teaching in the synagogue. And in the synagogue, there's this guy that's demon-possessed. And Jesus casts the demon out of this guy. And people were just astounded by this. I mean, it'd be like, you know, we're here in this service and all of a sudden someone, you know, starts behaving crazily, which is what demon-possessed people do. It's crazy what they do. And we just stop right here and just cast them out and then just keep teaching. Well, there'd be a whole bunch of people on the phone, right? Man, you should have seen what happened in church. And, you know, it's kind of what happened with Jesus. He casts a demon out of this guy, and there's a big stir about that. And then as he comes home, not to his home, to Peter's home, for that Sabbath meal, because there was a special Sabbath meal that had to be prepared. And in fact, there was three of them. And if you study the Sabbath out, it really starts on Friday night at sundown. That begins the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And they would have a meal that night. And then, what the meal comprised of had meaning and stuff. I'm not going to go into that today. But there was the Friday night. And then the next day they would go to synagogue and the preaching and teaching and all that. And then they would have this meal about noonish, somewhere around there. And that was the main meal. That was the meal. And it was like a stew, and it had, you know, different components to it. And which took some time, took some effort to prepare. And then around 4 o'clock, before sundown, okay, they would have this third meal. And then at the end, at sundown, then that the Passover, or the, excuse me, the Sabbath would be over at that point. And so he's coming back from synagogue, and he's expecting, you know, a meal. And when he comes in, here's Peter's mother-in-law sick. And so he heals her. And she gets up and ministers to them. And so, you know, the point we want to see here is really, he healed perfectly. She had a fever. We don't know for how long. We don't know, you know, what the whole complete situation was. But all of us have probably had a fever at one time or another. And if you've been sick, I mean, you know, not just one of those one day ones, you know, where, you know, you got a little fever one day and then you get up the next day and you're fine. You go to work and it's really no big deal. We've all probably had some of those. But, you know, I remember, you know, last year when I had COVID, I had, what, 103 fever for like 12 days. And when that fever broke, I felt really good, you know, way better. But I tell you, I wasn't serving anybody. I mean, the fever broke, and I went in and I said, man, I'm going to take a shower, you know, because I feel better. But, man, I had no energy. And I just went and plopped in the living room and just kind of sat there. And my wife served me. You know, I didn't serve anybody that day. Nor did I really serve much for another week because it took so much out of me. But when Jesus healed her, you know, he not only, like, whatever was causing the fever, you know, gone. I mean, he restored her. That's complete healing. When you're restored, when you have your energy back, when you have all your faculties, you know, and it says she ministered to them. Well, she went and prepared the meal. You know, whenever we have people that are either sick or they've had a, you know, a death of a loved one, what do? We prepare meals for them. You know, why do we do that? Because, you know, when you're going through something like that, you don't feel like doing it. And we all understand that. You know, we don't feel like cooking. We don't feel like doing those basic things of life. We're just kind of overwhelmed either by our sickness or by the grief or whatever. So we minister to people by providing them a meal. And so Jesus, when he healed her, he not only healed her physically, he restored her soul. He restored her energy. He restored her emotions, everything about it, so that she had the attitude, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do, you know, what I would have done had I not been sick. I'm going to do it right now. And so she ministered. And so, you know, we just need to understand when Jesus heals, he heals perfectly. And it's not like some of the healers, and we're going to get into that, that we see quote-unquote healers, you know, that we have today. But let's go forward. In 16, just the first part of 16, we see Jesus heals the possessed. He heals the possessed. It says, when evening came, okay, so this is after the final meal. This is in the evening. It says, when the evening came, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. You know, after the evening meal, because it's the Sabbath, right? So, you know, the Jews don't do much on the Sabbath. They're allowed to basically walk to the synagogue and walk back. They do a lot of their preparations the day before because they had all these rules about working and all that. There was only a certain amount they could do. So, you know, Jesus comes back from the synagogue and he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and they have their meal. Then they have their next meal. And then it says, when the evening came, okay, it's no longer Sabbath, but all the word had spread about what Jesus did in the synagogue that day. You know, if you don't read Mark, you don't understand, you know, well, why did all these people just show up? Well, it was because he had healed the demon-possessed guy at the synagogue. And so the word went out. So evening comes, and these people apparently knew where he was staying. He was staying at the Peter's home. And all these people, it says many, many brought those possessed with devils. And you know what? Satan is active. Satan still gets in people. When you read in the scriptures, just like in this passage, and there's many, many others, it says people came to Jesus and he healed them, and he also cast out demons. I mean, he was doing it all the time. Not only did he heal physically, he healed spiritually. He healed the possessed, people that were possessed. And I'm telling you, people still get possessed today. They still do. Satan hasn't changed. He still does what he does. There are people that become demon-possessed. They allow things in their life where Satan gets a foothold and he just slowly takes them over. And that still goes on. And then we look at people like that and we say they're mentally ill. We say, you know, things like that. Now, I'm not saying there is not mental illness. I know there is, but I guarantee you a lot of things that are attributed to mentally ill is really demonic. And when you get these people doing these crazy things that we read about, I guarantee you there's a demon involved. I guarantee you. People just don't get up and do that stuff. That is wicked, wicked, evil stuff that people are doing. And I guarantee you, things have not changed. You think just because it's 2,000 years later, Satan quits doing this stuff? He was doing it before, he was doing it during this time, and he's doing it after. Okay? It's no different. But Jesus, he has authority over the demons. In Mark, when he cast the demon out of the guy in the synagogue, it said, you know, he cast him out, and the demon, like, threw the guy on the ground and uttered some things, but he came out. And the people marveled because of his authority. You know, just like then, just like now, Jesus has authority over Satan. Don't ever forget that. You know, sometimes we look at this world and we go, man, it's so evil. There's so much stuff going on here. And it is. There's a lot of wickedness in high places. There's a lot of stuff, you know, happening that we're just like, man, you know, there is no way. Yes, there is a way. Jesus is the way. He's still the authority. Satan still has to do what he's told when he's told by God. Okay? So don't lose sight of the fact that God is in control of this world. He is. But he's allowing things to play out because he has purpose for it all. He allows things to play out according to his purpose. And so they had heard, and what, you know, it's just, you know, many, it says many were possessed. I mean, this wasn't just a couple. This was a whole bunch of people. And they're possessed. And here we see Christ on a grand scale showing his power over Satan, which points to his purpose for coming into this world. You know, we were all bound by sin. We were all servants of Satan at one time. And that's the point of why Jesus Christ came. He came, you know, that, like the one song said, he broke the chains You know, we were chains. We were slave to sin. We could not help but do wrong. I mean, we could try and do right, and there were some things we did right, but we always did things wrong. And Jesus came to break that chain. And that's what partly why we celebrate this time. Up to that point, people just did the best they could. They looked forward to Christ. We are so blessed that we look back to Christ. Because those of us that have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the power to not do wrong. We actually have the power to make a choice. And that's the chain that was broken by Him. And He showed His power over Satan, the power to disarm Satan, the power to dispossess Satan. That guy in Mark was possessed, and Christ dispossessed him. No longer belonged to Satan. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you belong to God. You don't belong to Satan anymore. You transferred over. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? He says, you serve your father, who is Satan. I mean, He said that was their father. But when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, God becomes your father. That's why the Bible talks to us about adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. We change our parents, so to speak. We're no longer a slave to sin. We no longer serve Satan. You may say, well, I never served him. Well, you may not have realized it. You may not have been actively worshiping him or anything like that. But you know what? As long as you weren't saved, you were a slave to Satan. And if you had died in that state, you would have been judged according to your works, found guilty, and you would have paid the penalty for your sin. But praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ came just like God said He would. Praise the Lord that He paid the price for our sin. Praise the Lord that for whatever reason He allowed me, He allowed you to see truth and to make that decision one day in your life that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing songs. Because the power of sin has been broken and Satan has been defeated. So we see that He healed the possessed. We see that He healed physically at the very end of 16. You know, He cast out all the spirits with His word. And by the way, that's all it takes from Jesus, is a word. Let there be light, there was light. Be cast out, demon. Demon had to go. Satan, don't you touch Job, with a word. And Satan could not touch Job except to the extent God allowed him. It's with the word. We understand that. He cast him out with His word. And it says, and He healed all that were sick. People had heard about the leper. They had seen the healing of the centurion's servant. They had heard about Peter's mother-in-law. And now the sick are coming. The demon-possessed are coming. And the sick are coming. You know, note the difference. Note the difference between what went on here and what goes on today. Now, I know God still heals. He does. But these guys, these healers, and I'm just putting quote unquote, look at the difference here. There was no advertising. You know, you ever see, you know, a big, you know, all these things? Oh, there's going to be a healing service. And they advertise it. And they rent out a stadium or an auditorium. And they pre-screen the sick. There was no advertising. There was no stadium. There was no pre-screen. There was no fanfare. There was no telling people that, you know what, you don't have enough faith, so you couldn't be healed. There was none of that. He healed them all. And they came to Him. He didn't advertise it. He healed them all. My biggest problem with the healers is, I don't put God in a box. I think God could use somebody to do it. I mean, the apostles, you know, some of them raised the dead and healed and stuff like that. But you know what? If you've really got that power, I don't see any one of these guys going into the children's hospital at Los Angeles and cleaning them out. I don't see any of these guys doing that. So until somebody does something like that, I'm a little skeptical, or I'm a lot skeptical, actually. If you got the power, if God's given you that power, you don't need a stadium, you don't need fanfare, you just go around and do it. The way Jesus did it. And you do it completely. And it doesn't take, a month, or whatever. The lame guy, when Jesus healed the lame guy, he said, get up, pick up your bed. And the guy was leaping. He was going into the synagogue, leaping and jumping. He'd be like jumping over the chairs and stuff, man. He didn't have to wait and get strong. His legs were withered, for 40 years or whatever. He was like 40 years old. And he just got up and he didn't have to learn how to walk. Don't you think a guy that was paralyzed his whole life would have to kind of be like a baby? Okay, I got my legs back, but no, this guy could balance. He could run. He could leap. When God heals, he heals. Jesus just healed them all. So he heals perfectly. He heals the possessed spiritual problems that we have. He can heal physical problems that we have. But he also healed prophetically. He healed prophetically. In verse 17, he does all these things, it said, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And what he's doing, he's quoting Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4, written 700 years before Christ. Okay? 700 years before Christ even came. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now that word born, it means carried away. It literally means he carried them away. That word griefs, it's talking about anxiety, calamity, disease, and sickness. Okay, that's our griefs. And then sorrows. Sorrows means pain and affliction. And it says he carried all of them away. He carried them away. Matthew is pointing out in this passage, he says, this is fulfilling prophecy. This is prophecy that was written 700 years ago. And what Jesus is doing is fulfilling prophecy. He healed prophetically, but it's also a bigger statement. It's a statement of not only what he did 2,000 years ago, but what he's going to do. What he's going to do. He was going to die for our sin that we could be healed. That we could be healed. Not just what he did when he was in human flesh walking on this earth 2,000 years ago and he healed the multitudes, but what he was going to do with his death, through his death. The ultimate healer. We must be careful in this area regarding healing. Okay? Physical healing, we got to understand this. Physical healing is not our guaranteed right. Any more than immunity from death is. People have been saved for 2,000 years. I mean, looking just going from that point, people were saved before that, looking forward to Christ. But I'm just talking about in the church age. People have been getting saved, but they all died, didn't they? Everybody's died. We are not immune from death. And you know what? We're not immune from sickness any more than we're immune from death. Sometimes people don't get healed. Does that mean they don't have faith? No. One of the most faithful people was Helen Keller. And she was blind and deaf her whole life. Never got healed from it. Boy, did she have faith. When you read some of the stuff she wrote, this is a woman full of faith. Knew God. But we're not guaranteed that. Now, can God do it? Yeah, and sometimes He chooses. And when He does, it's great cause for celebration, for testimony. There's people here that have given testimonies how God has done miraculous thing in them. But it's not guaranteed. And sometimes we listen to the lies. You know, and the lies are, oh, you're not healed because you didn't have enough faith. Well, you know what? You know, you can have all the faith in the world, but sooner or later your prayer's not answered. Because sooner or later you're going to die. These people that say you didn't have enough faith, well, everybody dies, so therefore, you know, if you're constantly praying, oh, I pray my mother will not die, my mother will not die, whatever, you know, or my brother, or my husband, my wife, me, you know, whatever, whoever we pray for, sooner or later they're going to die, and your prayer had no faith? I'm not trying to make this morbid, I'm just trying to be real. It's just, you can pray all you want if it's not God's will. Because what does the Bible say? You got to, whatsoever you pray according to His will, it shall be done. But if God is using your infirmity, if God is using your situation to grow you or to affect others, He may choose, because He's sovereign, He may choose to allow that in your life, maybe forever. Maybe until you die. But sometimes He does choose. Hey, I'm going to take that away from him. And He does. He's sovereign. So we got to be careful. You know, we're not guaranteed anything. Jesus said, you know what? They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. we're not guaranteed to escape persecution. Christian life is not just easy times. Our faith will be tested. Will we stand? That was why the whole purpose of the tent meeting and everything else, it was about faith. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? And that's a big question. Because we see the church falling away. We see the church compromising, capitulating to things that go against what the Word of God has to say. But we have the choice. We have the power. We are able. But we got to keep our faith and just believe that God's got this all worked out and that, you know what? We're good. And that's what this ultimate healing is that we are actually in good shape. It says, yes, the healing that Jesus did during His earthly ministry did fulfill prophecy, but He came to do more than that. Isaiah 53:5 points us to the fact that Jesus would come to heal us from our sins by paying the price for our iniquities. And I'm going to read a little, and you can turn there if you want. Isaiah 52, verse 13, 700 years before Christ came, a passage here, well-known passage. It's a prediction of Christ and what He would do. And it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently or wisely. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at you, his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. so shall he sprinkle many nations. What's sprinkling many nations? The priest at the altar would sprinkle blood on the altar. It was the atonement for sin. And what Isaiah was saying, Jews, it's not just your nation. It's going to be many nations. This guy's going to come and he is going to make atonement for many nations. This is Isaiah 52, verse 15. And it says, "For kings shall shut their mouths at him." Now, what does that mean? How many kings, rulers, people of authority mock Christianity? How many of them do? Many. Even in our own government, they do. And all over the world, they do. But you know, this guy's going to come one day. Okay? This person that he's talking about here, which is Jesus Christ, he's going to come one day and he's going to shut the mouths of those that are mocking him. And it says, "For that which they... Which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider." They will think about. In other words, there was a lot of mystery about how God was going to bring things to an end. But you know what? We have the whole word now, don't we? We know how it's going to end. We know these things that are going to happen. And the mystery, you know, Paul talks about it often. He says the mystery of Christ. You know, how God was going to work in mankind was a mystery. How's he going to do this? Well, it's all been revealed. It's all been revealed. And what you haven't been able to see before, you know, it's just like when we get saved, the things that confused you before, all of a sudden they can become clear to you. The things that you heard you didn't understand, all of a sudden, wow, makes sense. Because you have spiritual eyes. You have spiritual ears. It says, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him." Okay, he being Jesus, him being God the Father. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground." You know, there was nothing fertile. You know, he was born into a sinful humanity, but he came out of that. "He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." In other words, you know, this isn't one of those telepreachers or whatever that's in the sharp suit and they got that winning smile and, you know, and they draw people because of their look or their charisma or whatever. He says, no, Jesus is, you know, this guy's not going to be this. He's not, you know, you're not going to just cling to him or flock to him because of his persona. In fact, it says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him, and he was despised and we esteemed him not. You know, every one of us at one time, we didn't esteem Christ for how he should have been. I wasn't looking for him, that's for sure. I believed he existed. I believed there was a person named Jesus. I even believed he was the Son of God. I had been taught that as a boy, but sure didn't live like I believed that. And it didn't affect my living in any way, shape, or form. It didn't affect any decision I made or any pursuit I went after or anything that I was doing. I didn't look at it spiritually. I wasn't looking for him. And then verse 4, the one that I showed you earlier. "Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." But I love this verse 5. I love this verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace." What is that? Chastisement is what when a father disciplines his child, that's called chastisement. The Bible says God only chastises his own. Okay? Jesus was his own. Jesus was his child. And God chastised him for our peace, that we could have peace. The only reason we have peace with God is because Jesus bore the brunt of our sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with His stripes, we are healed. With His stripes, you are healed. With His stripes, I was healed. Man. And in verse 6 it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all was put on Jesus at the cross. That's why he came. It's why he came as a baby born in humble surroundings of humble parents and lived that perfect life. Because he was the only sacrifice God could accept, and so God had to do it himself. And by his wounds, we are healed. He's the ultimate healer. And he started showing that in his earthly ministry when he was restoring those with leprosy and the woman with the issue of blood that had made herself poor. She spent every penny she could, she had on doctors, and none of them helped her. Does that sound familiar to some of you? And you know, you've spent a lot of time and effort and money, and you still got problems. And she says, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment, and I'll be healed. And she did. And she was. And you know what? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you touched the hem of his garment, and he healed you of your sin. He healed you of all that was wrong with you. And no, we're not guaranteed total healing in this life. We still have to battle our bodies and the things that go wrong with them, and even our emotions and the things that go wrong with those. And yes, even our spirit and the things that goes wrong spiritually in us. But there's going to be that day when he does heal it all. And that's what I look forward to. And that's what I believe in. Ultimate freedom from disease and death is ours through the cross. That will only be realized when we pass from this life to the next. Because now we just see things, as the Bible puts it in Hebrews, like through a glass darkly. You know, through we only see part of it. But there's going to come that day when you're face to face with your Lord, and if you've accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to see the whole picture. And praise the Lord, it's all going to be good. We will be completely healed, physically, spiritually, emotionally, every way. In every way, we will be whole and complete and be able to stand and before Him and worship Him perfectly. You know, now we worship, but it's really imperfect, isn't it? But we will worship perfectly one day because we'll be healed. So as we celebrate the physical birth of our Savior, and there's great reason to celebrate that, let's also remember to celebrate Jesus as the ultimate healer. He came, humbled himself. It still blows me away. I have never gotten over when I finally realized, at least as much as humanly I can realize anything, that God chose to become a person. It just blows me away. He actually became flesh and blood, could feel pain, and then allowed himself to be treated as he was for my sin, so that I could be forgiven. I mean, make it personal. You know, when you read these things, make it personal. Yeah, he came for all mankind, but you know what? He came for you and me. And he came for all the things that were wrong with you. than all the sin that you ever committed or ever will commit. And he paid the price. It just blows me away. Can you imagine, you know, being the creator of the universe, you spoke it all into existence, and you allow men, your creation, to nail you to a cross? You allow them to whip and beat you, to pluck out your beard, to spit in your face? Allow them to do that? So that the same ones that did those things could actually be saved and have fellowship with him and go to heaven. And what love the Father has for us. And what sacrifice he made to heal us. He's indeed the ultimate healer. There may be someone here today that maybe you're sitting there and maybe you realize, you know what, I've never been healed. Not in that way. Not spiritually. Oh, I've had a few diseases or a couple things go wrong with me and I got over them and, you know, whatever. But you know, how is your soul? Have you been forgiven and restored? There may be someone here, there may be someone watching that you realize that right now. For the rest of us, how's your thankfulness? How's your appreciation for what God did? I mean, you read that passage in Isaiah, whoa. And this is God talking about his son and what his son was going to do through the pen of Isaiah. And because of his love for us. Wow. Do we take that lightly? Do we... What's our attitude, I guess? I guess maybe that's, you know, what is our attitude towards God? About healing, about salvation, about what we're saved from. I mean, I just sometimes think I'm guilty of that. I think I kind of take it for granted. You accept Christ, your Lord and Savior, maybe for some of you 50, 60 years ago. I mean, for me, it's been, 30-something years? 35 years or something like that. I don't know, somewhere around there. And it's like we kind of just get used to that. And sometimes just reading a few scriptures kind of brings it back. Wow. What God did. I should be so thankful. I should be so humble. I've got nothing to be proud of. Because God just reached down into the miry clay, that muck and garbage that I resided in, and just took me out of there and set me on a rock. And I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. But boy, I'm glad he did it. I don't know. Are we thankful? If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give people a chance to deal with God. Is there anybody here today who say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never received that healing touch that I desperately needed. And I realize I need it now and I need to make a decision. Anybody like that, I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, I don't know, do we take his healing for granted? Do we kind of not think about it as much as we should, maybe? What's our attitude towards Christmas? does what God actually did, does it kind of take a backseat to all the other stuff we kind of get busy with? And maybe we just need to get our priorities kind of flipped around a little bit. It's easy to get caught up in it. I understand that. Lord God, I pray that everyone here indeed is one of your children, Lord. I pray that that's true. Father, help us all to think about our attitudes this time of year and how much energy we put into things that really don't matter a whole lot as compared to energy into things that do matter a whole lot, like your word, like prayer time with you, Lord. Do we have a grateful spirit that we should have because of what you have done? Help us to adore you, even as the Christmas carols say, that we should adore you, Lord. Let it be so. May we adore you for what you have done. Lord God, help us that are in need of healing in one place or another, in one way or another. But Father, open our eyes, I pray, that we could see ourselves the way you see us. And then, Lord, give us the grace to change. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If God has just put something on your mind as the piano plays, maybe you need prayer for something, just come on up and we'll pray with you. But whatever God has touched you this morning, I pray that you will not let this moment go by. Use this time wisely. God, we just praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you for sending your Son to come on this earth and live a perfect life and then die for our sins, Lord. And Father, I praise you and thank you that you pursued me and you pursued those in this room that have trusted you as Savior. Lord, I praise you and thank you for just running us down, Lord, and getting our attention and never giving up. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you for healing us, Lord, as only you could do. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.